Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance, located in Niles, Ohio. Welcome back to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance. And again, a big shout out to Brandon for powering this program. And we're wrapping up the last of the shows with Coach Perry, who finished 7-3, phenomenal season. We just got done talking to your senior groups, the guys that went into the room, and fun group. But for you, Coach, I guess let's just reflect back on the season and what it was like in that Girard victory.
Well, you know, it's always amazing how fast the season goes by. I mean, just like in a blink of an eye. But then when you say to me, you know, go back and look at this, some of this stuff does feel like an eternity ago. I mean, we got off to that fast start, and then, you know, we obviously hit those bumps in the road in the middle, and then, you know, those last two games, obviously, it's some momentum going into the off season. There's still that tinge of disappointment because I think we had some opportunities that maybe we'd still be practicing this week. But then again, you know, we had a couple games that we had a little bit of magic happen. So at the end of the day, you know, our record probably, you know, people say your record is who you are. And, you know, 7-3, it's obviously a step in the right direction. Probably not as good as we – I don't think as a coach you ever feel satisfied. But, you know, I'm proud, you know, as I told our kids – 7 wins, you know, goes down and puts you in the upper echelon of, you know, the top 15% or so teams that have ever played at Niles McKinley. So I'm proud of our seniors for that, and for our underclassmen for, you know, building another step toward our ultimate goal, which is to, you know, get to compete on a statewide level. So that's where we're trying to get to.
Now, you're the coaching staff in there, and I was just talking with the seniors while, you know, we were getting their podcast ready, and they were talking about this year. I asked them the one game that they said the Hubbard game was, I think, the one that kind of bummed them out. That was the one that got away that they said that they could have won.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question. I mean, they, you know, just go from the gameplay itself, which was we had the ball inside the 15, I think, twice, and you only end up with 3 points there. So if you just take that alone, and then the other missed opportunities in that game, and there was plenty of them there. I mean, that's the one where I think most easily you can justify and say, if we'd have played well that night, that would have ended differently. And then, you know, their quarterback was out to injury. It was all set up for us, and, you know, we just didn't come through there. So, yeah, that's kind of the one. I'd agree with the seniors. That's the one that sticks in my mind.
Yeah, they said the one that just got away was Poland. They said that was just the kind of like a prize fight where it just wasn't their night, and just, you know, sometimes you just take a beating, but that's the one that they went with.
Yeah, no question. And, you know, at the time, and like you said, you try to avoid the all looking at the records and that, but I don't think anybody predicted Poland where they were sitting at 2-2, and, you know, we were 4-0 at that point in the season, and you know, they kind of caught fire there. I think our game ignited their season the other way. So, you know, they're obviously poised in the playoffs to make a run, and they're a good team. But we, at the end of the day, that's where we need to get this program going, is competing on that level.
Nice. A couple of seniors walking in. Good. And when you look at these seniors, you know, the guys that are leaving, I mean, let's talk about, you know, some of the guys. I mean, who is the guy that, I guess, made you laugh the most of the senior crew, this crew?
The guy that made me laugh the most, I mean, everyone thinks that Tress is a clown, but I've always felt he could get more out of his humor, Bo. He's only running about 80%. He's got more in the tank there. I was a little disappointed in his performance on the podcast, to be quite frankly. I expected more humor out of him. But, you know, he's an obvious choice there. You know, beyond Tress, it's hard to say. Guinea's a guy that just makes you laugh, Adam McGinnis. I don't even know sometimes if he's trying to, but he's just such a good-hearted kid, and some of the things that he says or does, just his mannerisms, he could put a smile on your face pretty quick, too.
Who is the leader, you think, of the seniors? Who is that guy that you kind of kept maybe the other guys in line?
I think our vocal leader, I was actually kind of proud of him as a group, but our vocal leader really on the field was a big one. It was Kyle Lundgren, really helping getting guys lined up and doing that kind of stuff. And he was kind of one that we had to muzzle a little bit and tell him sometimes it's better not to say things, because his nature was to always talk. And then you had other guys that I think by example, you know, Aaron Klein was a kid that we wanted to talk more, but he just always did things right. And as he's walking in now, Sean Witz is another one. I mean, I think those guys up front, just that core up front in general, but those two guys are probably leaders of the guys up front. And, you know, sometimes when things got, you know, squirrely in the locker room and the huddle, I think, you know, Sean was a guy to step in there and square that away. So I'm proud that I did see that they're all, as a group, I think their leadership skills developed. I would love to have another year with them, you know, to try to work on that, but they did a nice job for us.
Awesome. So, once again, you're listening to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, powered by Brandon Miller, State Farm Insurance, located here in Niles, Ohio. You can find his place on Robbins Avenue, the old corner dairy, somewhere where we would frequent probably years ago on our bicycles, going down to get some candy. And I was thinking about that the other day when I was thinking about, you know, Brandon's spot and where it's at. And, you know, now it's just offices selling insurance. And it was a place where you could go get some penny fishies and a Coca-Cola.
And there was a sub shop in there at one point in time.
Oh, the submarine shop.
Yeah, so same thing. That's still what it is to me. Like, I guess you can get some insurance in there, too.
Yeah, maybe Brandon, maybe that's what you should put some penny candies in there.
Right.
And, you know, people come in here and get some candies and insurance. And that's something to think about. Probably want to just focus on the seniors, because, you know, we're going to get to all the other kids. Now, you brought up McGinnis, and these guys said that that was the one guy that they said was just, you would not want to mess with, and he was an intense dude. Did you get to see some of those moments?
Yeah, well, I think with them is he's such a nice kid that you didn't always see it, I guess. But once he lit the fire and wanted to go, yeah, he could really turn it on. And like I said, it almost seemed out of character for him, because he has such a pleasant personality. But you know, those, you know, we go back to some of the things that happened late in the games and that, and getting him fired up and going, and that comeback with South Range, and Coach Connell getting on him and saying, we got to run behind you. And, you know, once we had him heading, his motor running, yeah, he's the kid that if he got into you, and I think our opposing teams saw that, he could really mow some people down. So, you know, he's probably going to have a future plan to next level if that's what he chooses to do. He's got the you know, he's got the size and strength in that colleges will be looking for. So he'll have some opportunities here moving forward.
Awesome stuff. And when these, I mean, you've had one senior class. I mean, you coached at Matthews, but, you know, we talked about this a little bit with the last podcast. I mean, do you, once you see these guys go, they hand it in? I mean, besides just seeing them around town, I mean, is this basically it?
Well, we certainly hope not. You know, our goal, one of the big goals of the program is to keep these guys around and around our players. You know, before the game, we always have an alumni guest every week. And, you know, last year, Jason Gibson came back as a, you know, as one of our speakers. And, you know, one of the kids he mentioned to me said, Coach, I can join the Alumni Association now. And I said, absolutely. And, you know, I tell him right after the game, I say, yeah, you're just a has-been like the rest of us at this point in time. But we certainly want them in the program. We really value all the alumni that have played here. We think it's an important part of getting our kids to understand that this is a lot bigger than themselves. So, you know, keeping these guys in the program, close to the program, is a big goal of ours. I imagine they'll show up, you know, during the winter, and we start going with weights and then, you know, and practice and so forth. Obviously, their lives are at a turning point, and they got big changes coming, but they're always going to be Red Dragons, and you know, I know there's they're going through that transition right now, but they're always going to be part of it. And, you know, for the most part, that's a great part of coaching, is these kids coming back to you. And I was just talking to a couple kids from Matthews just the other night that I hadn't talked to in a couple years, and it's that relationship just stays the same for eternity, and it's one of the true treasures of coaching. You get all these people in your lives forever.
That's awesome. And again, so many bonds. When you look at this second year, I mean, how comfortable do you feel just kind of as a coach, and implementing what you want to do. And I mean, I know you want to be, you know, better and better and better in every aspect. But I mean, you know, going in from last year to this year, what did you maybe change that worked out for you? And maybe what do you still want to continue to do? And what, you know, as we move forward?
Well, people, you know, look on the outside and they congratulate you 7 wins, or they say you should have done this different. What people don't understand is we're talking in here. There's 10 guys right on the other side of this wall here that are currently planning for next year. So it never really ends. You're never really satisfied. You know, you look at the record, that is one thing, but at the end of the day, there's so many elements to this program that to just pick out one or two and say, this was better. I think inherently, I think the kids have a better expectation of what we're trying to get out of them, which ultimately is, you know, makes things a lot easier. But we have a long, 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 long way to go. Because whatever anybody else thinks about what we're trying to do, I can tell you that their criticism or their evaluation pales in comparison to what we expect out of ourselves as coaches. And we're going to keep working at it as hard as we can until probably somebody comes in here and tells us not to do it anymore, which is the nature of the beast as far as that goes. But and I don't want to sound selfish in that way, because I do realize that there's so many other people, as you say, Bo, to put their hands in the pile to help us do that. And we have to continue to lean on them. And in that vein, I want to say thank you to the people of Niles that stepped up and passed that renewal levy. That's a step in the right direction, just like we feel like our program took a step, but it's certainly not the end game here. You know, as a community, we have a lot of work to do for our young people. And if football help plays a small role in that, then I'm glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. It does play a big role. I mean, you know, like, Friday night, when that game ended against Girard, you know, there is a sense of pride in the community when, you know, and that's a rival. It's a, you know, it's right across town. It's right next door to us. And, you know, I told the kids, you guys really, you know, it is a sense of pride. You can, you know, see these guys out, maybe talk, you know, you're not going to talk trash, but just, you know, you're driving through Girard, you just can give them a little nod, like, hey, we got you this year. So it's always a good thing to get the win.
At the end of the day, people need to remember, and I know, you know, obviously Mark Wade's at YSU right now, whatever, but that team played in the state championship game last year, and they had a lot of pieces back. And I think it's a testament to our league that, A, they came back to the pack a little bit. You know, three teams finished with 6-4 records, Hubbard, Struthers, and Girard, and all went to the playoffs, and rightfully so. You know, we're at 7-3, we don't make it. But, you know, we stood in there with those teams, beat a couple of them, beat Girard, beat South Range. You know, I'm proud of that. I think it does help. I think football, you know, I've always said that all the big gatherings in our community have been based around, you know, if you look at the biggest ones, football's been a part of that. So I do recognize that as something. You know, that's a double-edged sword. I think it's good that we get to make people feel better about themselves, but there's a heck of a lot of good going on in that school and in this community that should be celebrated more. And maybe people think a little bit too much about football, you know, at times. Which, you know, like I said, we really reap the benefit of that at times. And then, you know, we take the criticism, which is fine. You know, the area where I get a little bit testy is when it gets personal to our players, and you know, that's just one of my demands that I think on our community, that I hope that's something that just doesn't go over that edge too often. And you know, I am proud of the job we've done. I am proud of hopefully, if we had a small bit of making people feel better about Niles, then I'm proud of that as well too. But at the end of the day, like I told you before, our criticism on ourselves is probably stronger than what anybody else on the outside could, you know, try to put upon us.
Definitely, definitely. And Coach, we'll wrap things up, but thank you. Love doing the show with you. Again, to see what you guys were able to do in two seasons, I can't wait to see next year. Those guys, I asked your seniors, they went around the room. I had each one of them. There was 6 of them in there. That, you know, I said, you know, name a couple guys, one guy that you think is going to be a Red Dragon to watch. And I mean, they probably mentioned about 8, 9, 10, 11 guys, which I thought was a fantastic thing that they were just names just kept coming up of guys, you know, I said, well, that's a great thing, because you didn't want that to be a question where the room went silent. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, for you, excited? I mean, you know, you don't want to wish this away. You still want to savor the moment, but a lot of toys for next season?
Oh, and again, I'm sure that's what's going on in that room right there. But I don't think there's any question. We should have high expectations for ourselves next year.
So undefeated?
if you don't have that mentality,
right?
I know
that's
those guys in that group.
Yeah.
In, I mean, you know, we all know. I mean, I've been a part of that. That's no easy thing to do. But we do feel like we have the pieces to be great next year. We have to develop some areas, but that's always going to happen. You know, but there is enough talent here. We have to get the desire out of them. We have to be great coaches, whatever. But that's what you want, you know. And that's the fun part of this whole thing. I'll tell you that I want to be practicing right now, but that we're not. I'm going to try as hard as I can to give myself about a month to clear the.
We talked about
you know
that, yeah.
The thing. It's not an easy thing to do. It just never goes away, but. We get back after it, we are going to be very tough on this group of kids, because we think we can extract a lot out of them, and they need to have an understanding that we wanted to make the playoffs this year. We want to try to compete. The goal is not to make the playoffs here. And until people understand that our vision is bigger than that, and again, some people might mock that and laugh at it and think, oh yeah, well, Niles will never be this or that. Our goal is 100% is to get this program to the point where we can play for a state championship. And that's going to take a tremendous amount of work from a tremendous amount of people, but that's what we're trying to do. So that's where we go. And I'm telling you, this group right here, if they understood how much ability was in it, if we can get them to understand that and get them to play as hard as they can, they're capable to do some great things next year. So, you know, that's a goal.
Awesome. Couple things. Permane's player of the game. I was at that game, so I guess that falls on me. I probably have to give it to Zach. I mean,
has to be the
right.
Best.
Those two touchdowns, especially that last touchdown play, and hear your seniors kind of talk us through that play. They said it felt like it lasted longer than the game itself. That one play.
That was an ill-advised throw. If anyone is out there listening, you know, I will tell you this. I've thought long about this. That performance by Zach is one of Niles football's all-time great performances. Not just Permane's player of the game, but to throw for, I don't know, 250 and run for almost 100, whatever it was, almost 400 yards of offense, and six, I think four rushing touchdowns, two passing touchdowns, six touchdowns is... it's video game type of performance. And he'll be the first to tell you a lot of that was done on the backs of his teammates. I showed you the film the other night when we were at the seniors. We had that long play to Romero Baskin down the field where he scrambled around, kept the play alive, and you saw three of our linemen heading toward going downfield illegally, stop themselves and jump backwards and protect him. That's where I just really felt proud as a coach. I felt proud of the players. I felt proud of our assistant coaches that have taught them, you know, on the plays coming alive, not to go downfield, and then obviously the catch and all that. It was certainly just, you know, a culmination of everybody doing something, but Zach's the guy that threw the ball down there, you know. The fourth and ill-advised goal line throw, you know, only Zach makes that throw, but we have a kid at the other end of that, and then, of course, has the wherewithal to get the ball over the goal line. So it was obviously a team effort, but when you look at his individual performance, that's one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, fantastic job, Zach. Fantastic job to the season. Last question for you, Coach. Mom and dad's out there, you know, the coaches are going to talk to your kids and then they're going to come home. Coach, what advice can you give to the moms and dads of this program as this off season begins that these guys can be in their best shape when this thing gets going? Mentally, physically, just,
yeah, that's,
you know,
that's a great question. I mean, you know, one of the things we'll do here in December is we meet with each kid individually. I just gave it to the coaches, and we'll evaluate each kid on both sides of the ball, and then we'll have suggestions for improvement for the Osseo. So we like to think that that's individually tailored. Hopefully the parents, A, take a look at that. But, you know, one of the things that we have to just take the next step in, which I think the parents are a huge part of, is the nutritional value of sports, right? You know, we have some kids that need to gain weight. We have some kids that need to lose weight. We have some kids that need to get more flexible, stronger. And nutrition is just a huge part of that. So that's going to be one area of focus for me specifically to get with these kids. You know, we got some kids that, you know, that step from JV to varsity, and we think they're really talented, but their bodies have to be prepared for that. So I think the parents could play a big, big role in that. And I'll say another big thank you to our parents in this. We do coach these kids pretty darn hard, and I think the parents have been really supportive of that. And I know it's not always easy, you know, to hand your kids over and say, go ahead, yeah, you know, be tough on them and let them fail and let them fail again and make them earn it. I mean, those inherently aren't what we do as parents. We try to provide and keep them safe and whatever. But I think at the end of the day, some of our kids learn just some great lessons by going through it, what we feel is the hard way, which we think is the right way, and the parents have been super supportive of us as far as that's concerned. So, like I said, year two of doing it, the kids, I think they know what they're up against, and sticking to our guns on some things, I hope, pay dividends as we move forward.
Awesome stuff. Once again, Coach Perry, thank you. And you're listening to the 2019 Niles McKinley Red Dragons Football Podcast, once again powered by Brandon Miller State Farm Insurance and Primanti Brothers, giving these guys a nice little gift card as they were named player of the game throughout the year. I think we had one game where nobody was got the award, but somebody doubled down. I think that was Mays or Klein, one of those two got that. But Coach, hey man, I appreciate you allowing me to kind of share this program with everybody else, and like I said, I can't wait till year three and we get this thing underway, bigger and better things.
Well, we have one more episode coming, people. I'm telling you, I know Bo might not want to do it, but too bad. We're going to have the last episode is where I'm going to interview Bo, and you guys are going to get to know a little bit more about him. I know most of you see him running around and don't understand what that's all about. Maybe we'll get to the bottom of that, a little teaser. We'll get to the bottom of that and much more on who this guy who has, as I'm sure you all know, but I want to say it again, has volunteered his time every week to come down here to highlight our kids and, you know, this was all his idea, his way of giving back to the program. And like I said, it's really become a popular thing, Bo, so thank you. It's a huge part of what we're doing. And we do have a blast. And again, we'll talk about it more, but Bo and I, you know, I think we met in seventh grade and been friends ever since. And I just, again, want to say thank you, Bo, for everything you've done for our program.
Great stuff, Coach.
Love you, my man.
Thanks.
Good luck, baby.
And as always, go... Welcome back to the 2019 Player Spotlight, and we are joined with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 seniors of this Niles class. David Mays just walked out of the room because he was headed to Cleveland, or he would have been the 7th, and those guys are calling him fat ass because he was walking out. But with that said, let's go around the room. You guys can introduce yourselves, and then we'll kind of get going.
Aaron Donald.
Aaron Klein. Nick Tress, best center in all of Ohio, in the whole country.
Recruiters, did you hear that?
Kyle Logan.
Joe Gallo.
Seth McMillan.
Sean Weiss.
All right, gentlemen. Well, you guys, we were fortunate enough, big shout out to the football moms. They treated us to a wonderful meal Monday night, and we were going to record there, but I think we were going to have a little bit too much background check. But before we get into the football stuff, one of the topics during the meal was Call of Duty. And now Sean claims to be the best one, but you guys, I think, have an issue with the play.
You
guys have an issue with the way he plays. Is that it?
Sean's, yes. He can't.
Not anymore.
Six kills a game.
He's dirty.
He gets six kills a game.
Me and Sean are at the top every time.
He has no
room to Bro, I'm better than you, Joe.
No,
I'm the second best.
Joe, everybody's better than you.
They all agree.
I'm better than you. I don't even play the game.
So you said you're second.
They're just
best.
No, they're just trying to show off right now because they're on a par.
He's not.
I am better than them. I bet you I got a better KD than you.
All right, dude.
It's okay. I have better KD and more kills than all of you.
So who's number one? You guys have to vote. Who's one?
Sean.
By far.
Sean.
All right, Sean's one. No, so you got three votes. You voted.
I'm one anonymous.
Is there any games outside of Call of Duty that you guys partake
we'll
in?
We'll do Fortnite because they're
I'm still the best one in Fortnite, too.
No.
Yes,
no.
I am. I will literally outbuild all
you're
of you.
You're lost.
All right. You guys can all beat me in Madden. No, I'm terrible at Madden.
Who's the best in Madden?
I had to teach
me.
You to build.
Yeah, no, I'm not good still. So.
Madden.
No one, hey, I'm just saying, though, no one could check me on Battlefield 1.
Very good.
No one could check me on Battlefield 1.
Okay, well, nobody plays Battlefield.
All I know is I'm better at Call of Duty and Fortnite than all of you.
Let's see on the field, then. Let's take it to the field.
Awesome stuff. Well, let's get into it. I mean, you guys, senior season, how special was it to have such a dominant year, 7-3? You guys went out with a big, big win over Girard. Just kind of, you know, reflect on your final year and what it was like for you.
It's one I will always remember for the rest of my life. I think going into it, I think we all knew. But yeah, it definitely was one of my favorite and memorable seasons.
Yeah, it feels nice to win.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we'd never do that. We never did, but it feels nice to win for once.
And I think the bitterness of just not making the playoffs is just... it's just going to stay there forever. But I'm still happy to have that season that we had. And we'll go out the way we did.
What game you guys regret the most? Sorry, go ahead, Sean. What were you going to say?
I was going to say Poland.
Poland?
Hubbard.
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 We win that game. We score twice. Playoffs.
8-2.
So Hubbard's the one that...
Hubbard, for sure.
That one hurt.
Yeah.
Because we were better. We were better.
We were
than
so much better.
Yeah.
How was there a game where you guys just got smacked around where you're like, you know what, we didn't
shouldn't have really.
The Poland game was miserable.
Well, you know, everybody does get their butts kicked sometimes. I mean, it happens in all sports, professional sports. Sometimes it's just not your day and the other team gets
that,
you.
That
so.
Question was just there, put in there for us to say Poland.
Huh? Well, you guys might not have said it. You could have said another game.
Yeah,
another
I think
team.
I think everyone knows.
Tell you what, yeah, we didn't give up. We didn't give up, but it wasn't fun.
Yeah.
Any you guys contribute that day? It's just not your day.
No.
It's just a bad day.
I remember Coach said you guys had a fantastic week.
We had
practice.
That was honestly one
that
of the
that
best,
was our best
week we've had
all year. Well, my dad even said he was like, "Well, 4 days out of the week with a good practice, and then you flip over and just have the worst game you possibly could have." So, he said that before, like he said that Thursday night, going into Friday.
Thanks for jinxing
us.
So, well, I guess now we talked about which one was your favorite win.
Alliance.
Yeah,
Or Girard.
I like the Girard one.
Girard too. Girard
I like South Range because the overtime.
Oh
going,
yeah,
that was nice. But Alliance felt better.
Yeah.
Was that a big? I mean, that was so early in the season, and you guys up to that point wasn't a team that proved it could go on the road and beat a quality team.
Yeah, like I think about that a lot. I think I wish we could play the beginning of the season. Switch that with the four games that we played last and play Hallen, Alliance, Jefferson, and pull them at the end of the season.
There wasn't a person going into that game that thought we were going to win against Alliance. That's why I think everyone likes that one the most.
Really?
I don't think there was anyone that thought we were going
to win. No, the people that went and saw film definitely knew we had a chance to beat them.
Yeah.
I don't know about you guys, but the people that went to the game
thought
knew
we were going to win.
Yeah, man.
Well, you know, that was probably the one game where I talked to Coach and he was... You know, you kind of get a sense. He was convinced that you guys, you know, if you didn't, you know, make
it. They were a good team. We just obviously were better.
We beat them how he said we would beat them. We beat them in the second half.
We took it to them. We dog-walked them.
We were more conditioned than they were.
Their line was terrible. Their line was terrible.
The defensive line wasn't very terrible.
Yeah.
We had to rely on the passing.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's bring that up, too. I mean, we talked about this. I don't know who I was talking to Monday night. It might have been you, Sean. The one thing I loved about this team was I loved just there wasn't, like, one superstar where you guys just say, you know, like, just say Girard had Mark Wade. You know what I mean? You had this kid. It was just phenomenal. He's just above everybody else. You guys, I think, collectively as a group,
I mean, you really were a team. It was each game there was a guy that would step up. Each series there was a guy that would make a play. You know, you could be making a play, you make a play, one of you guys would make a big catch. I mean, what was it like just being in that huddle knowing that any one of you guys could be the guy that could make a difference offense or defensively?
Well, I mean, we could all trust each other to do our own job. We didn't have to think about their job, so it made it easier for us to focus on our own.
I mean, you said it best. I mean, I think that's what made us, up until some points, as good as we were, because nobody was like, oh, it's all about him, it's all about him. I mean, yeah, we had some standout players here and there, but, I mean, everybody was just trying to make a name for themselves. So I think, like, we were all just playing to make a name for ourselves. And
now, what's next? I mean, any more sports for you guys? Joe, I know you are a baseball guy. I mean, basketball, any other sports for anybody?
I play baseball, too, if you didn't know.
Seth? I didn't know you played baseball. Hey, he could have played baseball, too, I wonder if now.
I don't know. I think I might break out the bat this year.
I think I might do bowling.
Yeah.
Any track for you?
I was highly considering it. We'll see how like the baseball season plays out because I might
possibly we may see the T-Rocket.
Yeah.
We might see the T-Rocket.
Yeah, actually, the T-Rocket.
Right. I'm doing hurdles this year. Yeah.
How about this one? Now you got athletic wise. I mean, who's the best athlete in this room?
Me.
Me.
No. Wait. Back to the sports thing. I think me and our friend Pap might play tennis. We might play tennis.
No,
I'm 100% serious. I think we might break out the rackets. And
do you guys ever see the movie Balls Out?
Great movie. If you haven't seen it, I would recommend taking it up. And it could be something that the Niles Red Dragons tennis team could be in line for if Pap and Kyle join the team.
What are you guys going to miss the most? And what are you going to be absolutely happiest that you don't ever have to do again?
I know what I'm going to miss.
I'm going to miss the locker room.
Everything.
It was so
playing baseball.
There was
the locker room.
Oh, there was so much going on in there.
Not going to miss
WWE matches.
Yeah.
Don't practice. I'm not going to miss practice.
No, I'm going to miss everything.
I'm not
going to
miss running.
Running, I will not miss.
I can honestly be fine never running.
I'll work out. I'll put myself through workouts, but I cardio is not my thing.
So there's a lot of activity in the locker room?
Oh, yeah. There's a ton.
Tennis,
I think you go anywhere else. I don't think you have it like how we had it.
Yeah? Who was the orchestrator of the event?
It was me most of the time because I started almost everything.
So what? So tennis goes on in there?
We were playing with the
that
tennis
started,
ball.
That started during 2 days.
Yeah.
Like a little before 2 days when we had like the 7-on-7s and stuff.
The skill players always had tennis balls, and then one of the days it was me. There was a couple people, but I got the tennis ball. I'm like, bro, let's play tennis.
You guys took the binders.
And we took the binders and we just kept everything in back and forth.
Me, Tress, and Romero. That's
yeah,
what I'm playing.
Yeah, I'm moving
with
that.
Our binders.
Every morning before 2 days started, there was tennis match going on.
And you hit in baseball.
Yeah. Baseball started during the race.
Baseball started 2 weeks ago.
Baseball started 2 weeks ago. Well,
we used to play, but
it never really.
Freshman year, we used to play like.
Oh,
baseball.
Did we play baseball?
Yeah, it was baseball, but it wasn't baseball.
Tell them the story about
like
how you
pad.
Jumped over the
oh,
chair.
Oh, so,
God.
Thank God. I don't think any of the coaches know about it. But,
they will
Romero,
now. Right?
Yeah, they will now. Romero was pitching, and I was in the batter's box, and he threw something at me. I don't even know what it was.
It was foam football.
Oh, yeah, it was foam football. And he hit me with it right in the shoulder, and I took off my helmet, stormed the mound, and I started jumping over the rows of chairs and cleared the first two, and then the third row was just gone, and I just ate total ground.
No, you ate
busted,
the chairs.
Busted my shoulder off the chair, and it was bad.
This is all in the locker room.
Yes.
In the locker room.
Now, you describe it, you're like, I was in the batter's box. I was on the mound. Like, anyone listen thinks you're actually on a baseball field. So, well, there's
so
a lot of makeshift things going on?
Yeah, so
imagination.
Maze was the umpire. I think Cole was, or no, maybe it was different.
No, David was.
David was the catcher.
Cole was the umpire.
Yeah, Cole was back.
And we were all the way in the back half of the locker room, and then Romero was up front by the whiteboards, and so we just switched on and off. Like it'd be a different pitcher and a different hitter, and so.
And speaking of Mays, I mean the kid's a monster. I mean he is a full grown man. And you got now where? Who? How do you guys start calling him fat ass?
He's a sissy. He's fat.
He's a sissy. Sean called him a sissy.
When he played LRD, he was on the line, and I've never let him forget it. So
well, he was a tight end.
Yeah,
you
was tight end. So like,
he was in a 3-point stance half the season. Yeah. That's all I have to say.
Goldilocks. He had long. I don't know if you know that. He had long blonde hair. It was all the way down to here.
Yeah, the Clay Matthews going.
Yeah.
He cries more than anybody I know.
For real.
I don't think there's a football season that
he's never
had
cried.
Yeah, where yeah. he hasn't cried.
Hey, you like know, some guys are emotional.
Props to you, big man.
Yeah, big
yeah.
guy. You know, big emotional.
Fat ass.
Huh? Yeah, I don't know. I tell you what, man. I wanna be calling him the. He's a big dude, man. I don't know about that. Now you guys are in this locker room day in day out. You guys are moving on. Anybody want to play football collegially? Anyone looking to do that?
No. Why are you guys all looking at me? I definitely. It's just a thing that tosses up. Like, I love football. I love high school football. I just don't know if I like have it in me to put the hours and hours of time that to watch film and sit down and have all those meetings to
study play your schoolwork.
Yeah.
And it's like I thought about it too, but like I've played with a lot of these guys like 12 years.
It's just
and
not gonna
it's
be
just,
the same.
Yeah.
It's not gonna be the same at all.
I couldn't imagine playing anything other than college football.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
How about this? Corny as that sounds.
Now go around the room. One of you guys give me a guy that we should take notice of that should be a good addition, a guy that's going to step up next year. That when the, you know we're watching these games, it's somebody that you know we're going to pay attention to.
Can I go first?
Hey, you call
Zach Cicero.
Yeah, big Zach. Zach makes plays.
Javon. Yeah.
Right.
Javon.
For sure.
Yeah.
Noah Dirk.
Yeah.
He's good.
Is he?
He's just small, but if he like just works out, gets big.
Hey man, Colton.
That's what I told him last game.
If Colton and Noah Dirk get big, they'll be.
So
good.
Colton and Noah hit the gym. Start eating Wheaties. Start eating meat.
How much?
Al Nye.
He's good for this year.
I feel like he's just gonna go off next year.
Yeah.
Joe. Joe looks so different.
Joe?
You didn't say anybody yet.
Matt Keeley.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Matt Keeley, man. He that kid can play ball.
Yeah?
That's a David Mays, but I think
better. Skinnier.
Faster.
Listen, he can honestly probably play any position on the field.
Yeah.
Really? That freshman class might not look as talented as they are, but they got some talent, so... Maybe some of them can
let them develop.
Same thing with that junior class.
We weren't good. Our freshman year either. So let them develop.
Mine's Nick Arnott.
They have a lot of talent.
Give him a chance. He'll do all right.
I'm good. I'm glad you guys were throwing out a lot of names. It would have been maybe a sad thing if you guys were like, yeah, we got.
No, I think honest to God, I mean, I think people are gonna be surprised next year.
Huff too.
Huffman for sure after Zach leaves.
Yeah.
When his time comes.
Mm-hmm.
If he sticks with it, he's going to be a solid quarterback.
Because he's nice right now. He can get a lot better.
Now that, the last game against Girard, the last touchdown pass, what were you guys thinking, what was it, fourth and six, and...
Jaden caught that pass.
I don't even remember.
Oh!
Did it seem like an eternity for you guys?
That play seemed like it took longer than the entire game.
He, rolled out, we made eye contact, he thought he was going to throw it to me, then he started running back the other way, so I just kind of followed him, and then I saw him throw the ball.
Oh, that ball was
and then
the
it was,
air
there was four people,
seconds.
And I just saw Jaden just go like...
I was saying, whenever he threw it, I thought it was gonna get picked off.
Yeah, I was like,
I started running towards it just in case anybody picked it off. And then when he caught it, I said, no way he's gonna get in. And he dove in. I didn't know how he did that.
when we were kneeling at the end. Seth, I don't know how many times. He asked about a million times if he could kneel the ball.
Did it
felt like forever. It felt like that. Those last plays were took forever.
Really?
Yeah.
And that night, I mean, obviously you got a big night. I mean, everybody, the band's out there. You guys are out there, cheerleaders. I mean, everybody involved, the majorettes, the flag line, all the seniors. Pretty cool. Something you'll remember always?
For sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Crying.
Sean, the Thursday practice, our last lap, said, "Oh, I'm not going to cry, man, I swear." I was like, "Dude, your big ass is going to shed tears."
I knew I was lying.
And sure enough, right after we made eye contact, he was bawling.
I was bawling my eyes out. So was I.
Did Maze cry?
Yeah. Surprisingly, he was one of the last people to cry.
Well, I told him to quit crying all six out of the 10.
he already cried all his tears away.
He said that during his podcast when he did his player spotlight. He said after the game, whatever game that was, he said he was beat up and he said he was crying the whole all the way off the field. But hey, I like the emotion. I might be, I don't know what I'd be. I'd be screaming, yelling, crying, doing something off of that energy. Guys, anything that you guys want to bring up? Anything you want to discuss? Politically correct. Correct.
I have a question for you.
Oh no.
If you could take one celebrity to dinner.
Oh. There we go.
One celebrity to dinner. Who would it be?
Right now, guys.
Right now.
In this moment. When there's a laundry list, I
apologize, Wendy.
Yeah, but I think right now in the moment it would have to be Taylor Swift.
Oh yeah.
Oh okay. I was not expecting that.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to say she's been growing.
What about what's her name? Maggie from The Walking Dead. Didn't you like? You were a big Maggie.
Yeah, she was there. She was just like a throw-in.
Margot Robbie.
Yeah, that's heavy duty there. That's heavy duty. Yeah. Usually it would be Mrs. Robbie, but right now I'd say Taylor would be the.
Can't what you're saying.
Just say it. No, I'm not saying it.
Do you know what he said?
Go ahead. You get your.
Just say it.
No.
As long as it's correct.
No.
Come here and tell me.
I'm not saying
it. I'm not saying it.
No.
Bro.
It's not a question. It's not anything.
Okay. Then come. Okay.
What? Go ahead.
How are you about to bring it up and not say it now?
Yeah, you got to say it.
It wasn't a question. I was just telling him something.
All right. Secret. Yes.
I guarantee right when we get done recording,
he's
going to
tell me.
He's going to
say.
And then I'll be recording on my phone. I'll edit it in there. You're not going to talk to us, dude.
Nope. Nice and quiet.
Nice and quiet.
Yep.
So what now, man? You guys, you're turning in your gear. I mean, like tomorrow. I mean, what's it going to be like not coming down here and just doing whatever you want, I guess.
That's a great question. I don't think any of us have any idea what we're going to do. At least I don't.
Probably won't be
weird. I'll figure it out. Three days until you go to baseball again.
It's going
to
be so weird.
Man.
I don't know.
Like today at school, I thought we had practice.
Yeah, I felt like it.
I'm sure.
I could have sworn we
that routine.
I was like, oh, we got offense.
why do you
like defense? You didn't play defense.
That's why.
Yeah.
If you're an offensive lineman, you know why.
You would know why.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of MFers. A lot of F-bombs. Yeah.
Word to Coach Connell.
Shout out to Coach Connell.
Well, he said studies show that swearing makes you a better person. It makes you feel better, so.
Oh, my God. You should hear his halftime speeches.
Quiet him out.
They wouldn't have to be like that.
All right. You guys were good.
All right. I didn't say that.
Okay.
All right. We'll wrap it up. We'll have some quick hitters. You guys, the best-looking senior on the team.
Me.
Bro.
Me.
It has to be Kyle.
Me.
McGinnis.
Most athletic senior? We kind of talked about most athletic senior in the season.
Eighth grade, I was voted most athletic by my peers. So.
Yeah, eighth grade.
What has changed?
Because I was injured.
You got
what?
You got fat.
I'm not going to comment.
No?
No comment.
No?
My goodness.
The most intense senior on the team. Okay. Who's the lightning rod? Who's the guy, huh?
Most intense.
Kyle.
I would say Kyle.
Yeah?
I just get the most annoyed. He's the most intense, like, in the middle of a game.
Who's the guy that you don't want to, who's the guy you don't want to piss off?
McGinnis. Listen, I'm going to tell you something here. If we have a story, I'm going to tell him the Lakeview game. We were on like the 5-yard line, maybe 10-yard line. I don't even know. But we had the ball, and we were in Lakeview territory. We were about to score. We got the ball back. Doug had just made an interception. We run into the sideline. Coach Connor looks at me and goes, "Lundgren, you tell McGinnis to F and knock him on his ass." So I was like, "I got you." So I go into the huddle, I look at McGinnis,
him in the helmet,
I smack him in the helmet, I'm like, "McGinnis, you F this kid up, you hear me?" I was like, "You better F him up," like screaming at him. He goes, "All right," cocks his hand back, smacks it right in the back of my helmet. I went black for like 3 or 4 seconds, and everybody in the huddle, and even on Lakeview side, just all looked, and they're all like, "Damn." So sure enough, I mean, the next play, me and McGinnis were on this dude, and I mean, messed him up. He was on the ground. I was like, "Yeah!" Screaming. I was getting hyped for him, man. So
that
was a good time.
I remember.
Yeah.
I remember freshman year, Mays accidentally knocked out his glasses with a bag, and Adam charges at Mays. I don't even know what he said because you can't ever understand me. I thought Mays was about to. He was so mad.
He was like,
he got in Maze's face, and Maze's face got so red. I thought he was gonna cry. I'm not lying.
Oh, like before the games, he'd take his helmet, and there was like this old like
chicken wire.
Yeah, like chicken wire that was on the lockers, and he would just hit his helmet with it, and like punch it.
Broke it.
Yeah.
Beat up Romero this year.
I remember that.
Because Romero accidentally kicked the football and it hit him in his lip. This cat had him. He's about to go crazy.
How about Romero? How in the gassers and his voice? God. I mean,
he ran over 100 gassers.
Oh, no, way more.
Way more.
He had like 8 every day.
He had 8 every day.
For like 2 months.
The entire 2 days, he was running gassers afterwards.
Who's the funnest senior? Who's the guy that kind of keeps you guys loose and just...
Trez.
Yeah?
Trez and Romero.
Yeah.
What do you do to kind of bring that up, Jeff?
I don't know. I just say stupid stuff.
Cheeseburger spider.
Even in games like PAT against Lakeview, I asked them if they were trying to play Call of Duty after the game.
What were they? How did they respond? They just kind of.
They look at you.
Yeah, they just look at you as like you're.
Didn't you tell someone there was a spider by their hand or whatever?
Oh, yeah. And then I remember against Gerard, me and Javon were talking before the game. We're like, "Oh, yeah, you know what? We're ending racism." And I got down. And my hand's on the line. And Cole's about to snap the ball. And I was like, "Hey, you guys know I ended racism." And I just see their whole line slowly turn their head at me. They were lost. I don't even know how
that
I come up with
it. That was the thing.
I don't know how I come up with it. It's just on the spot.
Oh, that's excellent. Who is the senior that you guys were closest to? I mean, you guys are all here, but you might have had a companion that...
I think we were all pretty close, honestly. Yeah. I think we all had, like, that one person or a couple people that we could go to, like me, Seth, Jaden, and Aaron and Sean, I mean, we're real close, too. But we honestly were all so close.
I feel like the one that everyone was close to, but he's not a senior, is Lenny.
Okay.
Like, everyone talked to. Like,
Chaz.
We honestly were all pretty close.
Yeah, everyone was close.
I think that's what made us a pretty solid team.
The football moms down here, I mean, every day. Listen, I wouldn't do it for you guys. So I'm not even going to lie. I would have been like, not happen.
I wouldn't do it for me either, honestly.
I mean, and then the frontliners, I mean, do you guys notice If you don't, just lie.
Definitely with the moms. Yeah. I think we all definitely were
freaking
close
mom
with the
was
moms.
Gone. All the time, for no reason. Yeah. Like I'd be like, I'd call her, be like, I'm hungry. She's never home. So then I had to make myself something.
We'd always go in after practice and talk to Kyle and Seth's mom, and then we'd steal body armor and just walk out.
Anything that you guys would improve? Any recommendations for Coach Perry, the frontliners, the moms?
Keep the two-ply toilet paper.
Yeah?
Never.
That was a morale boost right there.
Keep it fun.
Joe's got something.
Yeah, I do.
So we did this, like, leadership thing. And I know, it's just like, I feel like they wanted us to lead, but we weren't sure how.
Okay.
I feel like they really pressured us with that, but we just didn't know how to do it.
All right, fair enough. I'm glad you know. That's what we do. That way when we talk to Coach, something he can build up, and hopefully they build those guys. Before we wrap things up, and then I know you guys had an out to Ravenna. How much of an impact was that? I know Joe mentioned that.
I never want to go back.
Yeah?
Parts of
like the physically enduring part, you don't want to go back.
Yeah, part of me, like, I was thinking about it after the game, like the days after the game, and I mean, I didn't think I would miss it, but I wouldn't say I miss it. It's just, like, to think about what we did, and we actually, like, went through all that stuff, and it's just, like, it's just crazy.
It forced us to stay close, because we didn't have phones or anything to substitute, yeah. So we had to stay close.
It was fun. I definitely won't forget that. It was very fun.
This year was definitely way better than last year. Mm-hmm. Because last year we had to sleep in like 90-degree rooms.
I'd say it was kind of harder than last year.
It was harder, but like the sleeping conditions, so much better. I had a fan right on top of me.
You hear us yelling Hollywood in the middle of the game.
Yeah.
You guys can't prevent it.
Yeah.
Irene.
We go out
at 1 in the morning and we...
That was another thing. Like a lot of the times in the games when something would happen or like something sudden would happen, I think like the defense or sometimes the offense would run out and it'd be like, it's Irene moment, Hollywood, welcome to Hollywood, or like if you're up in a game like and something happens, like just to get in the defense's head, like one of us would just start screaming, it's Hollywood, Hollywood, and the other team would be so confused and it's just like
another
Hollywood
thing.
Baby.
Master Sergeant missed our last game.
Yeah.
I'm upset about it.
He had a family emergency.
I'm just glad everything's all right.
Big shout out to
Master Sergeant if you're listening. Big props to you and thank you for everything that you've done for us.
And we got to get our food soon.
Hey,
you owe us food.
And steak dinners for them interceptions.
Yeah. Oh. So there's food on the table, huh?
Well, before the Lakeview game, he was like, if you get an interception, you can get lobster tail steaks. I had the...
He said if you get a sack, you keep the quarterback from getting...
A pick... He said something about a pick six. He said he would order... I don't even know what he
said. The whole team. He said the whole team. Everyone.
So, yeah.
He owes us a lot of food.
maybe just one.
He said the whole team.
All right, guys, we're going to wrap it up. I thank you, and I also thank you, Chris, for ending racism.
This is the political podcast. Martin Luther King here.
So the Niles Red Dragons, they finished 7-3, ended racism. and hopefully gave us you guys made this community proud, and as always, you know, I love all you guys each week did something special, I thought, on the field, and it was fun watching you, so you know, best of luck. I always end the shows, stay humble, stay hungry, be blessed, and
go Dragons.
And go Dragons.